this morning, as we conclude on our subject of prayer in the month of taking charge through the force of prayer, want to speak on avoiding the plague of prayerlessness. Avoiding the plague of prayerlessness. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. The Bible said, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. In verse 8. He said, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? The Lord bless his word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Our objective is to understand basically the causes of prayerlessness and how to avoid them. Avoiding the plague of prayerlessness. Understanding the causes of prayerlessness and how to avoid them. The Bible makes it clear that prayerlessness will become a plague, especially toward the end of the age. When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Towards the time that the Son of Man will be coming, will he still find people who value prayer? So we'll be examining quickly the things that attack the prayer life, the factors and the forces that make people prayerless. Number one on the list is sinfulness. Sinfulness. Sinfulness is the number one cause of prayerlessness. Sinfulness is an attack on prayerfulness. And there are three basic things. One, sin attacks love for God. It just attacks it. In Matthew 24 verse 12, it says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. So love in the heart of man for God, love in the heart of man even for fellow man, dies, it drops by the plague of sinfulness. And if you don't love a person, how do you communicate with them? If you don't love a person, how do you interact with them? Secondly, sin attacks confidence and boldness before God. Boldness. There is something that just makes you feel unqualified. Proverbs 28 and in verse 1. The Bible said, the wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. That boldness is gone. Where the enemy begins to tell you, what are you saying? What do you want to say? What are you? It attacks it at the place of prayer. So you hardly find a gambler saying, I prayed in tongues for the last 3 hours. Hardly find a drunkard saying that I did all night last night from night till morning. Except it's an all night of drunkenness on alcohol. Or see a practicing prostitute or someone who lives like that saying that I did 7 hours of spiritual irrigation. you will hardly be able to find them, because there is an attack on love for God, an attack on boldness before God. Thirdly, sin brings a separation between man and God. So there is a separation, there is a division. You feel far from God. You feel far from God, and you are actually far from God. In Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 and 2, he said, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear." He said, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." So, you are unable to have to be accommodated in his presence. You are separated from him. You actually feel that separation. So even if you try to pray, it's like your prayer is hitting a wall. And that will make prayerlessness effortless. So number one is sinfulness. Number two is wordlessness. Wordlessness. That is the lack of the word of God. Where the word of God is lacking in the heart of a man, it affects the life of prayer. It's important to know that prayer, that the word of God to prayer is what wood is to fire. Proverbs, I believe, chapter 27, somewhere he said, "Where there is no wood, the fire goeth out." It's like what wood is to fire. In Leviticus chapter 6 and in verse 12, he said the fire of the altar should not go down. He said you should burn wood on it every morning. The word of God is likened to the wood. Where no wood is, Proverbs 26:20, there the fire goeth out. Where no wood is, 26:20a. And then, in Micah he said, "Hear the rod." The word of God is likened to the rod, the wood. Hear the rod. Hear the rod and him that has appointed it. Very important. The Lord's voice crieth unto the city, and the man of wisdom shall see thy name. Hear the rod. Micah 6:9. And who has appointed it? The rod. So the word is the rod, is the voice of God. And the rod is the wood. Do you understand that? Where no wood is, the fire goeth out. So there are two things that I want you to understand. Number one, that the word of God provides us the premises of prayer by his promises. The word of God provides the premises of prayer through the promises of God. It is what God promised us that makes us know what to pray about. Am I communicating? It's what God promised us. The word of God provides us the premises of prayer by his promises. What God promised us, is what gives us what to pray about. Hosea chapter 14 verse 2, the Bible says, "Take with you words and turn to the Lord." You need to have words that will make you turn to God. John chapter 15 verse 7, it also says, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will have what to ask." You will have what to ask. You shall ask. If you are empty of word, there is nothing to ask. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done to you. So, the word of God provides all the premises for prayer by his promises. Secondly, the word of God is the fuel for faith. Faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word of God fuels the faith that causes us to turn to God. It fuels our faith, and the faith causes us to turn to God. You see, Romans 10 17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 said, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, or to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So in order for us to be able to pray and pray effectively, it must happen by the word. And if there is no word, there is no faith. And if there is no faith, there's no need to turn to God. There's nothing drives you to turn to God. There's no confidence that you'll be heard. And even that if you'll be heard, you'll be answered. So no need to pray. So this is very, very important. Wordlessness. When people are sinful, it affects their prayer. When they are wordless or without the word, it affects their prayer life. So it's important to charge up yourself continually. Preach messages, word preached. Scripture, Bible itself. It's important to charge up your word level in order to charge up your prayer life. Very, very important. That was number two. Number three is haughtiness. Haughtiness. That's talking about pride and talking about arrogance. Haughtiness. Haughtiness, which in bracket infers pride and arrogance, are enemies of the prayer life. Pride fuels prayerlessness. I've seen a lot of arrogant men, proud men. Do you go to church? Oh, not really. Prayer? Oh, no, not really. It's my wife. My wife is the prayerful type. Have you seen such people before? So full of themselves. And they are proud talking like that. When I see them, I pity them. One calamity just wipes them out. Pity them. Please understand two things on this matter. One, that prayerlessness is a confession of self-sufficiency. Prayerlessness. When a person is prayerless, he is a declaration of self-sufficiency. A declaration of independence of God. That's what the man is declaring. When a person is prayerless. Prayerlessness is a declaration of self-sufficiency. It's a declaration of independence of God. Why is that so? Because the Bible tells us that those who need help run to God. Those who need mercy run to God. Hebrews chapter 4 and in verse 16. He says, so let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So when you see a man who is insufficient in himself, when he is helpless in himself, when he cannot help himself, he runs to God. One song says, I cannot do it on my own. Take over. It's a confession. Second thing to note on this matter is that pride and arrogance makes a person to become a god to themselves. If you are a god to yourself, what is the need for another god? It makes a person to be a god to himself. And that is the spirit of Lucifer. Isaiah chapter 14 verse 12 to verse 14, we see that spirit there. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. See, I will be like the Most High. That was Lucifer. Made him a rebel. Pride makes people to turn into gods to themselves. And their end is the same end like the end of Lucifer. Please humble yourself. Some of us, we are weak enough in ourselves to ask God for mercy. That is, we are helpless in ourselves enough. That's what makes us prostrate, makes us weep when necessary in His presence. That has not made us weak at all. We may look weak in His presence, but very tough in the realm of the Spirit if you ask any devil. Hallelujah. Finally, well, maybe second to the final. After haughtiness, number four is busyness. Busyness. Busyness is the enemy of prayerfulness. Busyness with an over-congested life schedule. The schedule that programs God out. Everything is on your schedule except God. How can the plane be free from the control tower? How can the car be independent of the steering? How? Business. Gain two things. One, busyness, which means an over congestion of life's schedule, causes God to cease to be a priority. Busyness, that is an over congestion of life's schedule, causes God to cease to be a priority in our lives. I have this to attend to. I have that to attend to. I have this to attend to. I have this meeting. I have that meeting. I have this meeting. I have that meeting. It causes God to cease to be a priority in our lives. Matthew chapter 6 verse 33 said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you." All these things. All these things. Secondly, it takes stillness and not busyness to be successful, to make successful spiritual transactions. It takes stillness, not busyness, to make successful spiritual transactions. And Jacob was left alone, and they wrestled with him a man. Genesis 32:26. It takes stillness, not busyness. No matter how busy you are, you must make time for your maker. It takes stillness, not busyness. Psalm 46 verse 10, be still and know. There is something you will know about God if you are still. There are encounters you will experience. Be still and know that I am God. Some time ago out in Lagos, I don't know if you were with me, Dr. Mr. Nenche, where we branched into a man's business and business. I don't know, I think he invited us or something to pass. And we branched in there. It was around 12 noon. We saw people praying, quack, 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 between 12 to 1. I sat on the, on his chair, made the declarations. He said, "This chair you sat now, about 2 weeks ago, Bishop Oyedepo sat on the same chair and declared the same thing you are declaring now. I said, really? He said, 12 to 1 every day, the business shuts down for prayer. And there are people there coordinating the prayer who are part of this staff, whose assignment in the office is spiritual. They are paid salary for that engagement. As at the time we met him, it would be like 50 years ago or 10. They make sales of about 150 million at times a day. I don't know how it is. Say some days we can make up to 150. Some days we can make up to 150 million. Maybe not every day, but some days. He shut down his schedule. Huh? It should be far more than that now. One man, another businessman, said every week, Monday, 3 hours, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. No business, no phone call, nothing. He had to settle the week before stepping out. And then he steps out, jobs in billions. Your priority determines your prosperity. It affects it. So there are people who are busy and life is still not easy. Still not easy. Hallelujah. Busyness of life. And if I will add a final one, this one now is extra outside the note. Number 5 will be the wrong influence. The worst thing that can happen to you is the wrong person to enter your life and undermine your spirituality. The wrong influence. The wrong friend. The wrong counselor. In Proverbs chapter 13 and in verse 20, he said, he that walketh with the wise shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. He that walketh with the wise shall be wise, but the companion of fools shall be destroyed. The wrong influence. And two things you must understand. Number one, your company affects your character. It affects it. Whether you like it or not, the character of the people around your life begins to flavor your character. If they don't value God, you won't value God. We read that already, Proverbs 13 and in verse 20. If they don't think that prayer is important, you won't think so. Secondly, your character affects your choices. The choices you make affects your mindset, affects your choices. Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. 1 Corinthians 15:33. You can't be the friend of people who don't believe in God, don't believe in church, don't believe in prayer. They say you are praying too much, you are going to church too much. And those are your best friends. I've seen people destroy. One man one day came and suddenly said, people are wasting their time talking of night vigil, wasting their time talking of fasting and prayer. That Jesus had fasted all the fasting we need to fast. All manner of things. I watched this man drop down like this to zero. He's still alive, but nowhere to be. That was somebody that Archbishop Idahosa was mentoring and pastoring practically, a white man. He came against everything. The same things that made people to go up, the same things, he collapsed it. He came to the point where the leadership of his own church sacked him. You are the founder of the church, but we sack you. Ay, 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 ay. That will never be your portion. Anybody who will not follow you to heaven, don't follow them to hell. Hey! Anybody who does not value your values, don't value their friendship. Did you hear what I said? If they don't value your values, you are not under obligation to value their friendship. Their friendship is of no value to your life. If they don't value your values, the thing that you hold there, the thing that are valuable to you, they don't value it. Don't waste your life with such people. Hallelujah. They don't value your values. Don't value their relationship. Don't value their friends. They are adding nothing to you. It's a new day for you. I pray today, may God cut you off from every relationship that is a disaster, every relationship that is destructive. May God cut you off from such relationships. You believe that, say louder, amen. You believe that, say the Lord must say amen. Please take your seat. And so we have looked at five things this morning. Sinfulness, number two. Worthlessness, number three. Haughtiness, number four. Busyness, and number five, the wrong influence. That one came in the course of the service. Now, finally, this is our conclusion. One, ensure that you maintain a prayerful, you maintain and sustain a prayerful life as your spiritual life wire, spiritual life wire, spiritual lifeline, lifeline. Ensure that you maintain and sustain a prayerful life as your spiritual lifeline. Why do I say lifeline? He said, pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray like you breathe. Pray like your heart beats. Ephesians 6:18. Praying always. Praying always. We are practicing this one practical now. This church is on 24-hour prayer chain right now. I'm sure that they have it. I mean, I'm sure that God is answering us, and that is why we are seeing the kind of drastic two armed robbery cases, this compound, and they couldn't enter the house. We'll hear more of that. A notorious terrorist was deleted Western Sokoto area, I think yesterday or 2 days ago. Very bad man. His assignment was to annihilate the Hausa community in the territory. He has a name. The name said, is it 15 naira? Is it more than whatever? It's more valuable. Very useless, terrible, wicked name. 500 naira. The Ribiar. Do you understand what I'm saying? Sustain it as your spiritual lifeline for yourself, for your family. Number two, always follow the leading of the Spirit unto prayer. Every time there is something we used to call the burden of prayer. Christians in the 70s understand prayer burden. Alright? I don't know if today's Christians know whatever it means. But it means that every time you feel a weight in your heart as if there is a need to pray, separate yourself to the closet. Romans chapter 8 verse 14, it said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You follow the leading of the Spirit unto prayer. It is either that God wants to avert a calamity, or he wants to establish an opportunity. You follow it. Either a calamity is to be averted, or an opportunity is to be established. You woke up in the morning, you don't feel like eating. Don't force food into your mouth. Proceed on a fast. Till when? Till when the body lifts. Till when the body lifts. Till when the hunger returns. That's how we live our lives. I don't have a food timetable. That this is what to eat at this time. This time to eat. It doesn't exist. My wife is aware. Is it confirmed? Doctor Mrs. Myself. It does. I mean,
at times by midnight he's asking, have you eaten today? I say, I'm not sure. Many times food has to be rearranged back to source because it was not eat. Do you understand what I'm saying? You see, these things are said so they can communicate examples. At times it's not a fasting, but you are talking with people and your spirit becomes uncomfortable. There is no flow in the discussion anymore. Don't force yourself because you want to be sociable. Move away. Excuse yourself. Please, I need to move up now. I have some things to attend to. Step to the nearby closet or place you can pray. Father, I don't know what this burden is, but whatever it is, you pray until concern turns into singing. That is when you now know you are broken through. Lakete koko babarata sadi, je koko babagarata sash, lakete kekepe parota kakazika lagada. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You pray until that hallelujah begins to come up. Then you know the victory has been registered. Stand up on your feet. Life is practical, not mystical. There are many things God wanted you to avoid, but you are too distracted to follow the leading unto prayer. There are many dreams God wanted you to cancel. You were too distracted to follow the burden to fast. But no more. In the second service, we are going to look at five other situations that lead to prayerlessness. Number six will be worldliness. When a person is so entangled with the world, prayer is not possible. Number seven will be faithlessness. What is the basis of prayer when faith is not there? I'm mentioning that so you can understand that there are more things to come. Number eight will be ungratefulness. When people can't thank God, they don't recognize God as the source of anything. The next will be weariness. I'm tired. I'm just really tired. People give up, then they go down. Weariness, just I'm exhausted. And the last will be the absence of spiritual covering. When people are not under any covering, or the absence of the right influence, spiritually, nothing powers them, nothing fires them on. Like you are being fired on now. Nothing. Hallelujah. We'll look at all of that in detail in the second service. But right now, lift up your hands. We are going to take a few minutes of prayer. But first of all, lift your hands and appreciate the King of Kings for his word to you this morning. Father, thank you for your word. Father, thank you for your word. Father, thank you for your word. Adonai, we worship you. We honor you. We adore you. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' precious name. Lift your hands and lift your voice and pray after me and say, Father, I come before you today. I ask for your help in the name of Jesus. I ask for your help in the name of Jesus. Deliver me, Lord, from the wrong influence in the name of Jesus. Help me not to be the victim of the wrong association in the name of Jesus. Deliver me, Lord, from over busyness of life's schedule in the name of Jesus. Deliver me, Lord, from pride, from arrogance, from haughtiness, in the name of Jesus. Father, Lord, deliver me from every lifestyle of worthlessness, in the name of Jesus. Help me to value your word, in the name of Jesus. Deliver me, Lord, from the trap of sin, from sinfulness, from the plague of sin. Help me to live for you, in the name of Jesus. Go on ahead and open your mouth and speak to God. Help me to live for you.
In the name of Jesus. What a word. Let's go into prayer. Job chapter 1 and verse 10. Job chapter 1 and verse 10. Let's read together. Had not thou made an hedge about him,
and about his house, and about all that he has on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased.
Listen to us and say, Father,
we ask
for the establishment
of your blessing edge
around your own
that are connected
to this altar
against arrows
of sudden destruction
disease
and death
in the name of Jesus.
Lift your voice and pray.
Father, we ask for the establishment of your blessing edge around tsunami members against arrows of sudden death, arrows of sudden destruction that are connected to this earth against arrows of sudden destruction, arrows of diseases, arrows of death. Establish that hedge, Lord, in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18 through 19. Let's all read together. I want to go.
And I say unto thee,
that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Hallelujah. Lift your voice and praise the Father.
Father,
we have
for the frustration
and destruction,
of all antichrist
targeted against the growth,
and progress
of your church
in this season.
We bring them
into defeat,
an instant judgment.
Lord, in the name of Jesus,
Father, we ask for the frustration, for the destruction of all antichrist agenda that is targeted against the growth and the progress of your church, against the progress of tsunamis in this season. We bring them into defeat. We bring them into instant judgment. In the name of Jesus. We are for the frustration and destruction of all antichrist agenda targeted against the growth and the progress of your church in this season. We bring them into the peace, we bring them into instant judgment. Lead to Bakatina Sarido.
Amen.
Matthew 15, 13 and Psalm 22, 27 to 28. Matthew.
But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up.
Hallelujah.
All the ends of the world shall remember and come unto the Lord, and all the kingdoms of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord, and is the governor among the nations.
Lift your voice and say, Father. Say, Father.
We ask
for the uprooting
of every root tree.
In our nation,
at all levels.
In this season.
Oh Lord.
In Jesus' name.
We ask
that you take your place
of leadership
in our nation.
Oh Lord.
In Jesus' name. Lift your voice and pray.
Father, we ask for the uprooting of every evil tree in our nation's leadership at all levels. In this season, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you take your place of leadership in our nation, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we ask for the uprooting of every evil tree in our nation's leadership at all levels. In this season, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you take your place of leadership in our nation, Lord. In the name of Jesus.
Jesus name we are praying. Amen. Isaiah 27:1-2, 1 Kings 18:38. Let's read together.
In that day the Lord with his strong, great and strong sword shall pierce Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon. Hallelujah. In that day say we unto her a vineyard of red wine. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. Hallelujah.
Amen. Say, Father,
Father,
prepare the head
and slay
the blood-sucking dragon
and
Leviathan
over this place,
making demands
on blood
through terrorism,
banditry,
ritual killing,
and political activity.
We also kill it
with thirst
by drying up
its blood
reserves
with the fire
of the Holy Ghost.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Joel 3:14. Joel 3:14. Let's read together.
Multitudes
in the valley of decision.
For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision.
Lift up your voice and pray. Say, Father,
Father,
we ask
in this season
that you will give us
the harvest
of the multitude
in the valley of decision
through this altar.
O Lord,
in the name of Jesus. Again,
Father,
we ask
in this season
that you will give us
the harvest of the multitude
in the valley of decision
through this altar
in the name of Jesus. Lift up your
Father,
voice.
Father, we ask in this season that you will give us the harvest of the multitude in the valley of decision through this altar, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we ask in this season that you will give us the harvest of the multitude in the valley of decision in this season. The Lord heard and answered us. You believe that? Say louder, amen. Give the Lord a big clap and a shout of praise. Today is our testimonies and thanksgiving service. And I'm sure you know that there is a connection between praise and prayer. Praise secures his presence. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. While prayer secures his audience. In praise, we are ushered and assisted into his presence. And then at the place of prayer, we can have audience with him. So, we are going to step into praise shortly. Praise also appreciates what he has already done. And then prayer positions us for what he's here to do. So that they are linked. This is what he has done. We are appreciating you for what you have done. And now we are connecting to what you are here to do. And finally, praise creates the atmosphere that causes us to hear from God. While prayer is God hearing from us. Hallelujah. In praise, the atmosphere is created to hear from God. In prayer, we are expecting God to hear from us. In praise, we are appreciating for what He has done before. In prayer, we are expecting what He is now to do. Praise brings us into His presence, and prayer gives us His audience. So this is the connection. And we are going to be praising now for the next 5 minutes. While we are doing that, if you have a testimony, somebody will be at the back of the of this screen here to hear from you, and then we shall proceed. I'd like you to know we are in the second seven weeks of revival, and we believe that God will visit us. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a praise in celebration. Let's go.
Oh, yeah, come and see what the Lord has done for us.
Wait a minute. The way you are looking, I'm suspecting that you are not planning to praise very well. Hallelujah. I like you to break that look, right? And I like you to let loose, even though it's the first service. Let loose and praise and celebrate God. Tell somebody, I want to praise God. I want to give Him the praise. Let's go. Everybody say. I'm gonna get it.
Yeah.